Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fence Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. I'm Brian, Kat NFL. Paul is
still Fanatic underscore pick.
Fanatic underscore pick on Twitter. The Dolphins stay in the win column here, beating the Chicago Bears in dramatic fashion, 35-32. I was lucky enough to be at the game here, and it was a good time. And before we get into the game, Paul, I've got to share a story with everybody. I ran into Michael Dieter's dad, and basically what happened. So we were outside after the game. You know, every Dolphins fan that has a jersey, usually I try to go up and talk to, and I noticed there were three people with Dieter jerseys, number 63. So then I went up to one of them, and I shook his hand. And I said, "I've got to know the story. Like, are you guys related to Michael Dieter?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm his dad." And I said to him, "Well, one day he might. I think he's going to be a pretty decent center or guard. And you don't want to hear that about your son." And he said to me, "He's already a good center guard." And I go, "Eh." I wasn't trying to be a jerk, but that's how I feel about him. I'm sorry. So I hope nobody like runs into my mom one time and, you know, like
someday Cat may be a good podcast host. He's already a good podcast host.
Yeah, one of these days. Cat's gonna be a decent podcast host, and if you said he'll be okay one day, that's it. Oh man, but wanted to share that with you. But Paul, it's great to stay in the win column here. Dolphins win 35-32. Obviously, some problems with stopping Justin Fields. There were some problems with stopping Lamar Jackson several weeks ago. And now you've got, you know, two different, you know, running back or quarterbacks who are special at running the football that the Dolphins could not stop. And I don't know if that's an issue or what, but a lot of broken tackles today from Justin Fields.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's Justin Fields is just getting special at doing that. The one guy that really seemed to be able to combat it is a guy that's sometimes on the field, sometimes not, but a guy that I know that you're a big fan of, and it seemed like Duke Riley was very good at getting there to help kind of prevent that in moments and force things. But no, I developed a healthy sense of respect for Justin Fields' legs in this game, and it's very much a sense of, you know, McDaniel's a big fan of letting them do the things that aren't going to actually beat you, but keep them preoccupied. That said, yep. One thing I do want to bring up here is somebody I pointed out and thought was on the brink of having a breakout game, and I felt like he did a little bit today, and that's Cole Kmet.
Yeah, I dismissed Cole Kmet pretty easily when we did our show. He caught two touchdowns today, five catches, 41 yards. Also got two handoffs too, which is kind of weird.
Well, one handoff and then he took a direct snap for a first down.
Yeah, the Bears did a lot of trickery here today offensively, and you know, I do have to say too. I mean, obviously when you have 178 rushing yards from Justin Fields, that's a problem. But the running backs who heading into this game for the Bears averaged over 5 yards a carry on the year, 21 carries, 59 yards. So they did a good job stopping that inside game. And I thought when it came to Fields, it's not like they were blindsided with what he could do there. They just, I thought they had him bottled up so many times. And then he just broke tackles. I mean, one of them was a 60-yard run. Another one was a 20-something yard. Another, 17 yards. He just got away from them. Just a lot of broken tackles.
There really were. And, that said, we can congratulate Justin Fields on his record performance running the ball today. Or we can start congratulating some of our players and their record performances. Tyreek Hill, the fastest in the Super Bowl era, to 1,000 yards. And not only that, he surpassed 1,100 yards in the same day.
That's crazy.
It's Tua Tagovailoa. He is really showing that he's the guy this year. He's only played 7 games. In those 7 games, 2 of them he got hurt in, and those are the only 2 that he didn't throw for over 250 yards. He's thrown for over 250 yards 5 times this season. 2 of those have been for 300 plus, and 1 of those has been for 450 plus yards. He's 3rd in the NFL in completion percentage. Average completion yardage, he's 1st. Yards per game, he's 5th. Passing touchdowns, he's 6th, despite having 2 less games than most of the guys on this list. Touchdown percentage, he's 2nd. Interception percentage, he's 4th. He's 1st in number of times sacked, and he's 1st in QBR. On top of that, you've got Tyreek, who's 1st in yards, 1st in receptions. He's already surpassed his season totals for receptions for 2016, 2017, and 2019. His 1,104 yards so far surpasses his 2016 and 2020 season totals. And then you look at Waddle. Waddle's 5th in yards, 10th in receptions, and they're doing a crazy amount of stuff. On top of that, people were worried about Jeff Wilson Jr. I heard a lot of folks talking about him running behind that San Francisco line and not being able to get it done behind a Dolphins line. And while he only had 9 carries today, his season average with San Francisco this year was 5.1 yards per carry. And he averaged 5.7 behind Miami's line. And you could finally see between him and Mostert some of those lanes that McDaniel designs and taking advantage of those. So there was a lot to like with this offense today, despite, again, going for it when a field goal probably would have been a wiser decision. A couple of ill-advised 4th down plays. But at the same time, you can see the development and growth. And these guys are still all very early in their relationship with each other. It's crazy. It really is.
Jeff Wilson goes out and has the game-winning touchdown catch. The touchdown catch that made the difference in winning and losing in a game that, where the Dolphins just won by 3 points. He looked big, he looked fast, he looked athletic, and he got on the field quickly because he's familiar with the scheme. So I was very impressed with what we saw there from Jeff Wilson. And just doing some quick math on Tua for the season, 151 for 216, so a completion percentage of almost 70, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and another 30-point output here from the Dolphins offense. And Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, again, running wide open in this game. I mean, they could not be covered, and that seems to be a common theme week by week. I mean, you're talking about Tyreek Hill, like you said, over 1,100 yards for the season, and Jalen Waddle catches his 6th touchdown of the season, and so he's got what? He's north of 800 yards for the year. I mean, I think he had 85 today, so... Mm-hmm.
And Waddle also leads the league in average yards per reception. Like, it's crazy.
How asinine is it that last year Jalen Phillips was averaging 9.8 yards a catch? I mean,
Jalen Waddle, you mean?
Who did I say?
Jalen Phillips.
Oh, Jalen Phillips. Yeah. slipped in the tongue. Jalen Waddle.
I mean, he could make a good tight end. He's athletic enough and has some hands.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Waddle averaging 9.8 yards a catch last year. That's why Brian Flores is a mediocre linebacker coach. So we're just lighting everybody on fire. Michael Dieter's
the best is Brian Flores that Flo tried to push Tua out because he just didn't have it.
One of my favorite things, just going to these games in other cities, is seeing the jerseys, just the really weird jerseys.
Oh, you're going there.
I sent you a picture. I saw an Alex Leatherwood jersey, and I'm thinking, like, how do you even get a Leatherwood jersey made that quickly? You know, they just got him, 6 weeks ago or whatever? And then I saw a Patrick Minnelli jersey, who was the former Bears long snapper. And I'm thinking, like, oh, God. And then I saw the Dieter jerseys, and then I just lit a fire to the entire Dieter family. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. If Michael Dieter's grandmother, Gertrude Dieter, is listening to this podcast, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hey, an okay NFL guard or center is a lot better than, you know, being a decent college one. That's better than most of the planet at playing guard or center.
If we were really going to get into it, I would have been like, are you even going to make the case that he's anything better than an okay center or guard? I thought it was being nice, but this is what happens when I try to be nice to people.
You know what we haven't talked about yet?
No.
The Buffalo Bills fans can finally stop crying about the loss to Miami and start crying about losing to both the Jets and being 0-2 in the division to start the season here.
That's right. The Jets win today, 20-17? Whew. Yeah, I said before, and I was telling Dolphins fans all week before the game, I don't think the Bills are going to lose three games this year. Well,
are they going to win any in the AFC East?
I don't know. But yeah, yes, they will.
Yeah, they will.
But anyway, getting back to the game here.
Real quick before we move on from that, one thing that I'm going to be curious to keep an eye on this week is towards the end of that Jets-Bills game, Josh Allen's arm got hit as it was coming forward, and you could see him gingerly holding that arm for the rest of that game and it affecting his performance. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on, because the Bills without Josh Allen, that's kind of like having a revolver without a firing pin.
Yeah, it sure is. I've heard that he's going to be fine. I think after that thing that happened to his hand, he came back and he threw a 20-yard pass that should have been caught. But we'll see. I mean, that would certainly turn the division on its head if there was a situation there. One thing I can't get over, though, Paul, is, and what I'm so excited about, is after seeing so much bad offensive line play over the last couple of years, the Dolphins again keep Tua completely immaculate there in the pocket. You know, Teron Armstead is just he's just beautiful to watch. Anybody who likes offensive line play, his pass protection sets, it was more, even more beautiful to see him in person, where it's almost perfection. And then you're talking about him on these sweep plays. I never realized how fast that he gets out there on these run plays, and it makes such a big difference. And then on the other side, Brandon Shell, did you hear his name today? No. And there's a good reason for it, because he's just doing his job at the right tackle position.
Yeah, and so here's a stat for you, actually. And this is courtesy of Valley Boy Sports. Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa both have 6 wins on the season. 2 in 2 less games. That's my little add in there. The Bills have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. The Dolphins have the 25th scoring defense in the NFL. Which quarterback is more valuable for their team's success?
Yeah, that's a good point to make. I mean, I always go back to, with Josh Allen, how he could just take over a game with his arm on the spot. I think Tua is at that spot? Not really, but I mean, at a certain point, you can't argue with a ratio of 5 touchdowns to 1 interception. And that's what Tua is doing here.
And Josh Allen's on pace to lead the AFC in interceptions from what I've seen.
Is he?
That's a stat that came out today. Might be right. I'm going to confirm that while we're here.
So, yeah, I mean, and then now for the first time, I am looking at, you know, who the Bills are playing in the next several weeks and thinking, okay, if we can get to that game in December where the Dolphins go down to Buffalo, and Buffalo will be favored in that game, no doubt about it. It's going to be a cold game. But if we get to that game with a chance to win it and win the division, that's when the season starts to get special. Not just a wild card team, which is what I've always had the Dolphins being, just because I anticipated the Bills being so good and winning the division.
And just to confirm, Josh Allen and Davis Mills are tied with 8 interceptions right now in the AFC, 1 interception behind Matt Ryan, who obviously is not going to have a lot more chances to throw interceptions this year after being benched.
Yeah, man, crazy. And the Dolphins play Davis Mills here in a couple of weeks when the Texans come to Miami after the bye week. Paul, let's get to our grades here. Tua, I mean, what you look at that touchdown to Jaylen Waddle. I mean, the anticipation and the accuracy it takes to make that throw on the road when the stakes are high. And you also look at just the chemistry he and Tyreek Hill have. I did not see a lot of missed throws from Tua at all today.
And the ones that were missed were by an inch or two, like that fourth down pass to Waddle. And on top, the other thing we have to factor in too is how many yards did he have in pass interference calls today?
Absolutely. That Tyreek Hill pass interference in the end zone put the ball at the 1 yard line. So you're talking about 302 yards passing with another, if I had to estimate, 60 or 70 yards in pass interference penalties. This is an A all day for me.
I am 100% there with you. It's Tua killed it in this one again. And really, without that pass interference, he would have had 4 touchdowns today.
Yeah, and he would have had 4 last week too if the Trent Sherfield catch would have been reviewed. I mean, it's getting exciting here when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa. Good for you, man. Good for you. At running back, Jeff Wilson, at the very least moving forward, is you would have to think is going to be kind of a 50-50 with Raheem Mostert. But 9 carries, 51 yards from Jeff Wilson, as well as the touchdown reception that, you know, that's not an easy play to make when you come here just a few days ago. You know, you go up, you split out wide, you make a move on a linebacker, catch the pass, dive to the pylon, an impressive play. So kudos to Jeff Wilson. The Dolphins never really got an established run game here, which was a little bit concerning at first. I mean, I remember looking at some point in the third quarter and the Dolphins had rushed like 11 or 12 times to the running back. So it didn't really establish the ground game. But Jeff Wilson's 28-yard run as well as touchdown catch take this grade up. So, you know, nothing flies off the page other than those two plays. So I'm going to go with a B- for him.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm going to go with a B. I thought they did a lot when called upon. They just weren't called upon a lot. We saw the establishment of those running games. Mostert got a touchdown on the ground and Wilson got one through the air. There was a lot to like in the limited opportunities they had, and there's not enough to pull that down from there.
Yeah. Wide receiver and tight end, I'm going to kick it back to you.
I, whew. I really wish Durham Smythe hadn't looked away and, you know, right as Tua started cocking his arm back on that fourth down. But that aside, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle combined for 12 receptions, 268 yards, and two scores today. This is an A-plus without anybody else involved. And Cedric Wilson suddenly showed signs of moderate life in this game.
Not to be a bean counter, but I think it was 12 catches for 218. But also, when you factor...
No, that's not 218. That's Waddle had 5 for 85, and Hill had 7 for 143.
Right.
Oh, you're so, right. Shit. Damn it.
So 218. But still, we talked about the pass interference penalties, too. When you factor those in, it does get to that number. And I think if you have a 30-yard pass interference call, like Tyreek Hill had, as far as I'm concerned, that's as good as a reception. So that's the amazing thing. It's not only is this
228.
So 228. So not only does Tyreek Hill have 1,100 yards in the year, he has at least another 100 in drawn pass interference penalties, which is incredible. It is very impressive. Trent Sherfield, 3 catches for 27 yards. Just workmanlike is the term I use for Trent Sherfield. Cedric Wilson caught 2 passes for 23 yards. Also threw a couple of key blocks there. So I'm glad he's getting a little bit more involved. Mike Gesicki, 1 catch for 3 yards. But I always think that he is your classic decoy at this point. I'm still glad the Dolphins didn't trade Gesicki because they wouldn't have gotten more than, you know, in my opinion, a 3rd-round pick for him. At that point, I would have rather just hung on to him. So I am going to go with the receivers. I mean, they just can't – Hill and Waddle can't be covered. And that's a major thing in the game. I'm going to go with an A-.
O-line, back to you, Kat.
Offensive line here. So, this is something I always look at more on Sunday night, Monday morning. But – when you don't hear a player's name, that's usually a good thing in a type of game like this. And the Bears, I don't believe, had a sack here in this game.
They did not.
Did not have a sack in this game. And the Lions had 2 sacks last week on blitzes. So I really don't blame the offensive line much for that. And then you look at, okay, they didn't run the ball a lot, but still when you crunch the numbers, you know, at the running back position, 18 carries, 77 yards, a pretty decent yards per carry average there. So, I mean, I continue to be more and more impressed with this offensive line. And it's going to be interesting to see if Austin Jackson gets his job back over Brandon Schell. And I hope he doesn't, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, why would they give him Brandon Schell's job?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I'm going to go A- on this too.
I'm going to go with an A. They started to open up running lanes today. We started to see what we couldn't see when Chase Edmonds was here. And they also kept Tua clean. And that's their job. I can't put it any better than that. Like, there was one moderately low snap at one point. And that's about the only gripe I have with the O-line today.
Yeah, no complaints out of me from that. The Dolphins win this game 35-32. So obviously on the defensive side of the ball, there were some issues. So we'll start with the defensive line. I credit the Dolphins interior defensive line with how they handled the Bears running game, because Zach Sealer, Raekwon Davis, Christian Wilkins had to win those matchups inside against David Montgomery and against Khalil Herbert. Heading into the game, the Bears running backs were averaging over 5 yards a carry. In this game, 21 carries, 59 yards. They did their job in that respect. Where the running game obviously got out of control was Justin Fields and a lot of missed tackles. He shook off Bradley Chubb on one play. Chubb had an opportunity to take down the quarterback and really put an exclamation point on this trade. He didn't. That's not to say anything poor about him moving forward. But he had his chance, didn't take advantage of it right now. So not a lot of pressure on the quarterback other than that either. So when you factor in 32 points on the board, Justin Fields having 174 rushing yards, not a lot of big plays from this unit. I'm just going to go with a straight C.
I put Justin Fields' rushing yards a lot more on the linebacker unit today than I do on the front four. I thought part of Justin Fields getting a lot of those rushing yards, while there were some missed tackles and sacks, I thought he was very elusive and avoided a lot of potential sacks in this game, which some of those I'll put on the players, some of those I won't. I thought there were some hilarious moments as far as, you know, you look at, oh God, I'm blanking right now. When Melvin Ingram got his sack in this game and he literally was carrying a player like a backpack that was holding him from behind as he got the sack. And, you know, like there were a lot of moments like that. I thought Phillips put a lot of pressure on. I thought Sealer had a really great fourth down stop where if he didn't come up and plug, they got the first down. I thought there were a lot of very, very good moments from the D-line, and I put a lot of those Justin Fields rushing yards, like I said, on Jerome Baker, on Landon Roberts, on as good of some moments were with Duke Riley, on Duke Riley when he was in there. They did not contain him even when they were spying him.
Yeah,
and that was their job. So I can give the D-line a B here. They held the running backs. They made some key stops. They made some key tackles. And they did put a lot of pressure on Fields, which forced him into taking off with the ball.
So given that, what's your grade for the linebackers?
For the linebackers? I'm going with a D here. They struggled to cover Cole Kmet. They struggled to contain Justin Fields. They didn't do a lot, and it was very noticeable when they didn't here. And your job as a linebacker, first and foremost, above and beyond all things, is to make tackles in a way that it isn't for the front four and it isn't for the back four. Like, that's where the biggest issues were today, were the linebacker unit.
I'm going to match you on the D for the you.
Actually, I'm going to go D minus.
Okay, D minus. I'll stay with a D. Yeah, I mean, I think you said it all there. I mean, they not only missed a lot of tackles, but they weren't in the right spots a lot of those times too. So, yeah, there's just a pretty unimpressive performance. And that's what happens when, you know, you play the Bears and they put up 32 points. You're going to get some grades like this. Defensive back, I thought it was odd Veron McKinley didn't play or wasn't active in this game. He goes from, you know, he's on the practice squad. He starts last game against the Lions, and now he's just flat out not active. I thought that was a little bit strange. But, you know, even with all the points the Bears put up and Justin Fields having three touchdowns, 123 yards passing. So it's really hard to dog at them all that much for this. Keon Crossan had a pass interference penalty, and there was also another one at the end of the game that should have been quite honestly flagged as well.
But he did a beautiful on that one. It was a beautiful job of swapping arms on the side away from the referee. Like, it really was.
If you say so.
I promise. I rewatched that play about seven times and was my wife looked at me and goes, can they do that? And I went, no, but it's only a penalty if they see it. And, you know, at one point he had, I can't remember if it was his left arm first that was away from the ref. And as the receiver spun around, he swapped it to his right where you couldn't see it.
Man. Yeah. It was definitely pass interference. But hey, those calls tend to even out, you know, and you know, the Dolphins have been on the wrong side of those calls. They were on the wrong side of those during their three-game losing streak. And I've always said You can't blame the refs unless it's just absolutely egregious throughout the game. I don't think that was the case. I make the same argument if the Dolphins lose. Like if that happens, you've got to overcome it. And sometimes they work in your favor, sometimes they don't, and this time it did. But overall, I thought it was an impressive performance there. Kader Kohu, I don't see many passes he let up. Xavien Howard had the Darnell Mooney touchdown against him. But overall, Mooney, 7 catches, 43 yards. To me, it was an impressive performance from the defensive backs, and any offensive explosion from the Bears obviously came on the ground from Justin Fields. So I'm going to go B+ for defensive backs.
I'm going to go with an A- here, especially when Kader Kohu was called out before the game for being one of the matchups to target in fantasy for Mooney going up against him today. And literally, I think Kader Kohu actually retweeted it with, bro, he had 1 catch for 9 yards. Good looking out. Like, it's – I thought the safeties played well. Javon Holland was all over the field. Eric Rowe was all over the field. Kader Kohu led the team in tackles. Xavien Howard got a little bit robbed on what I think should have been an interception there. I thought that was a pretty weak pass interference call, to be 100% honest with you on that one. So maybe the one later was a makeup call. I don't know. But – overall, I thought they played well. I'm going to go with an A- for the secondary. The problems were at the second level today, not the third.
Fair enough. Yeah. I don't disagree with anything you said there. Special teams. Jason Sanders badly misses it. Just a chip shot field goal that would have put the Dolphins up by 10. You know, just when I'm starting to feel like Jason Sanders has completely come back, and he's done great the last 2 games, he misses a kick like that. I totally forgot, too, at the tailgate, somebody was wearing a number 2 jersey, which I thought I went up to him because I thought it was like, how'd you get a Bradley Chubb jersey made so quickly? And it was a Matt Hawk jersey. Instead,
every time I see Chubb run around, I think of Matt Hawk. I'm like, that's a punter number, bro.
I agree. And so I started talking to him, and his family is close with the Hawk family. And he said the guy was talking about how Matt Hawk did such, you know, how he used to bomb these kicks. And I agreed with that. And I was like, but then he shanked so many other punts too. All right. See ya. Bye. Like, I'm just running roughshod.
Maybe you should stop walking up to people in jerseys and talking to them.
Yeah. I at the end of the day, I was like, oh man, I was kind of a dick a couple of times today to the family member. Could you imagine if I met Jonathan Martin's cousin or something? I mean, God, it would get ugly.
I'm glad you weren't with me when I met Paul Solia. That's all I'm going to say.
No, Solia, I would have ranted and raved about Solia.
Look, I don't know what would have come out of your mouth in the moment. Like,
oh man. But special teams, Sanders, so you have 2 big plays here. The Sanders missed field goal, but the bigger play was obviously the Jalen Phillips blocked punt picked up by Andrew Van Ginkle for a touchdown. So that was certainly a bigger play there than the Sanders missed field goal. Other than that, nothing really comes to mind.
Thomas Morstead on his one punt today flipped the field with a 51-yard.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And that is just such a common theme, very common theme. So when you start weighing the pros against the cons, I'm going to go with a B for the special teams.
I'm going to go with a – God damn you, Jason Sanders. Like,
it would be an A.
It's – this should be an A when you block a punt and get a touchdown. It should.
Yep.
And shanking a short field goal that badly, like, you can't blame the wind for missing by that much, especially from that close. Like,
it was not the wind.
No.
And I'll tell you what, the wind was a pain in the butt yesterday, but it was not really a factor today.
No,
there is no amount of wind that could have been responsible for that.
I'm going to go with a B plus, and it's Jason Sanders' goddamn fault.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I agree. So, Paul, Dolphins win this game here. Who's your player of the game? Who's your Coke bus player?
I'm going to give Tyreek the player of the game. He's been such a difference maker this year and really opened up this offense. I don't even think I need to explain that. The first player in the Super Bowl era that's the fastest to 1,000 receiving yards, and he does it by going over 1,100 instead. You know, just an extra bonus 100 yards. He's literally almost 250 yards behind the second leading receiver in the – or ahead of the second leading receiver in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it on only four more catches than Cooper Kupp. It's ridiculous what he's doing right now, and even more ridiculous when you factor in what he and Waddle are doing. As far as my Coke bus player of the game, I was firmly staring at a Landon Roberts, but I'm also staring at Jason Sanders, because Sanders could have made this, you know, a bigger margin here that we needed in critical moments if we hadn't gotten that fourth down stop at the end. But I got to give it to Landon Roberts. Anytime you allow a quarterback to just run ragged on you, and I know a lot of the chat's probably going to argue with me and say Jerome Baker should have got it. I said for the first nine games last year, Jerome Baker's a middle linebacker that if you put outside, you're neutralizing his game. So Jerome Baker's faults I put on Josh Boyer right now, and a Landon Roberts faults I put on a Landon Roberts lap. And if you're that linebacker in the middle of the field, a Landon Roberts, and Justin Fields is running wild on you like Hulkamania, guess what? You are going on the Coke bus for me today.
Fair enough. I am going to give it to Jerome Baker, my Coke bus player of the game. Not in the right spots a lot of the time. And Justin Fields ran wild, and it's his job to control the middle of that field there and have the range to do that. So didn't get done. My player of the game, back-to-back weeks, Tua Tagovailoa gets it. Player of the game. I thought he was incredibly accurate. And you look at some of these passes to Hill and Waddle. Yeah, they get open. But, man, he fits the ball into tight spots. And it was a pleasure to see there on field level up front. The job that he did there, and the Dolphins have officially their answer at quarterback, and it's wonderful for me to be able to sit here and say that after we sat here for year after year with Tannehill and Chad Henne and all these other guys here, we're just like, I don't know.
But yeah, I want to answer something from chat real quick, just because it goes back to what I just said about Landon Roberts. Two Pistols said E-Rob is trash. Yes, but he's a good leader, and I respect that. I respect being a good leader too. Mike McDaniels is a good leader. I don't want him at middle linebacker, period. If E-Rob's such a good leader, go be a goddamn coach. Right. But hang it up if you can't stop a mobile quarterback.
Now, in fairness, we've said week after week, he's had an impressive season. He's
hit more than he's missed as the Terrell Buckley of linebackers. But
yes,
this season, he didn't hit shit. For this game, he didn't hit shit.
He was not good in this game. None of the linebackers were. On these third and short plays, he's usually the teeth of the defense on these run plays. Didn't have a lot of those opportunities here today because the Bears were usually getting first downs before it got to those third and shorts. So, Paul, that's going to do it for our breakdown here of the Dolphins 35-32 win over the Bears. I'm Brian Kett, NFL, Paul's Fanatic _ Pick. Join us on as well on Finn Fanatic and the Fan Sided Network, as well as all of our social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, everything. Dolphins are 6-3, and they're going to be heavily favored in the next two games. Very exciting stuff. Thank you for joining us here. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.